Soundtrack for a very short movie set in LA.
Thank you.
Now, everything tonight is a world premiere, also a work in progress, and a sneak preview. And the next thing, maybe more of all of those than the others. Thank you.
my flight.
I think she went very excited. And,
attack when they are unprepared. Make your move when they do not expect it. As it is said, those who like to fight and so exhaust their military inevitably perish. By military operations, it is because of transporting supplies to a distant place. Transport supplies to a distant place, and the populace will then perish. Those who win every battle are not really skillful. Those who render others' armies helpless without fighting are the best of all.
I remembered the line from the Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita. Vishnu is trying to persuade the prince that he should do his duty, and to impress him, takes on his multi-armed form and says, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds."
All Americans of that generation no doubt recall with great clarity where they were and what they were doing on December 7th, 1941, the day that Japan attacked the American naval base at Pearl Harbor. I myself was in active military service on the Hawaiian island of Molokai as an army officer in temporary command of a infantry division. In fact, I was one of 1,565 Americans of Japanese ancestry who had volunteered for and were in active military service before Pearl Harbor, and who, with other Americans, stood in defense of the territory of Hawaii against the enemy. We remember vividly the atmosphere that prevailed in this country immediately after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Rumors of a Japanese attack on the west coast of the United States were rampant, and numerous false sightings of enemy warplanes off the coast were reported. A great wave of fear and hysteria swept the United States, particularly along the west coast, where a relatively small population of Japanese Americans had, even before the outbreak of war, been subjected to racial discrimination and often violent attacks. Of the 120,000 individuals constitutional rights were severely denied. Without being charged or indicted, without trial or hearing, without being indicted of a single crime, they were en masse ordered into what Canadians described as American-style concentration camps, surrounded by barbed wire fences, with searchlights, watchtowers, and armed guards, and there they remained, many for over 3 years. One of the citizens forced from his home is a friend of mine, Wilson McCauley, who lives in Reno, Nevada. Wilson's response to that degradation and humiliation was magnificent. He enlisted in the U.S. Army. He enlisted from his new home, which was a concentration camp. When he went home on leave from his military post, he had to visit his family, also anonymous family members gone by, but in a concentration camp. Before that, before Wilson, an American soldier, could go home to visit his brothers and sisters in their barracks, he was subjected to searches by fellow GIs who were their guards. He fought in England. His service on the battlefield was very short-lived, less than 30 days before he was so badly shot that they literally had to ship him home in a cast. They took his leg off and eventually sent him home. He got off the boat and called one of his brothers. That is when he learned of his welcome home present. The neighbors had set fire to his family's home in California and burned it to the ground. During the hearings of the Commission on Wartime Relocation and Internment of Civilians, former internees, many telling their stories for the first time, told of infants, young mothers, and elderly persons who died for lack of adequate medical care and facilities, of families who were separated, elderly parents or in-laws going to one camp while their married children went to another, of large families forced to live together in one small room, of the constant nagging uncertainty of the future, both near and long term, of the strain this placed on their families and on the close-knit Japanese-American community, and most dramatically, of interns who were shot and killed by camp guards because they inadvertently wandered too close to the camp barbed wire fences. In one such incident, an elderly man and his grandson were playing ball near the fence late one afternoon. Under camp rules, one was never to be seen between the two barbed wire fences after 6 p.m. Although it was after 6 o'clock on this day, it was a bright summer day and still broad daylight. The grandfather had missed the ball, chased after it, and when he got in between the two fences, the guard in the watchtower yelled, "Get back!" And the elderly gentleman said, "Oh, I'm only going for the ball," and continued the chase. Whereupon the guard up in the watchtower fired the machine gun, killing the elderly man instantly. His grandson and the members of his family still bear the scars of that incident.
Thank you. auspicious beginning to the new decade for the Japanese Chamber of Commerce and Industry in New York. Volunteerism is a significant element of life in the United States that we in the Japanese community, both as individuals and corporate members of JCCI, must come to terms with if we are able to truly appreciate the American way of life. The United States regards philanthropy and community involvement differently than does Japan. In Japan, the conventional view is that a profitable corporation benefits its community by its very being. Its presence creates jobs and wealth and other residue benefits for the community. A company's profitability and beneficence are part of a single whole. In America, companies see themselves playing two distinctly separate roles. In one role, the corporation functions to provide a product or service with the goal of making life worse. In its other role, the corporation feels compelled to give back to its community some of the profit it has made in the form of monetary donations or service to the community. An important part of a foreign company's social and cultural adjustment to life in the United States is learning to play the second role as well as the first. It is in that second role as a philanthropist and community activist that a company gets to know its name and its business world. Another challenge in making the cultural adjustment is that American community involvement springs from volunteer initiatives. That is, companies or individuals take it upon themselves to get involved. Those who are active on behalf of various causes usually try to enlist others to take part also. But, as in most countries, they hesitate to ask friends. They hope foreigners will behave as Americans do by acting on their own initiative. On the other hand, one reason Japanese and other foreign companies and individuals may not get involved is because no one asks them. They too are shy and are afraid of making an uninvited approach. One result of this is that Japan-based corporations and their resident executives in America suffer from the image of being disengaged. They don't mingle, or they always take what they never give, are phrases that Americans sometimes use in reference to Japanese in their community who do not participate in community activities. Despite a natural reticence that most Japanese have about tooting their own horn, it is important in American society to take credit for good works accomplished. This is not bragging. It is a matter of getting deserved credit.